Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Zvochim Daf Yud Tes. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our home page. If you are already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the Daf before the shiur, and even better, order your personal volume of this Masechet. Our address is gmarkings@gmail.com. Our shiur today commences from 6 lines from the top of Daf Yutes at the 2 dots. At the side of the Gemara in our pre-marked Shas Ozer, Shas edition, we find topic headings and structural notes, labeled as Nosei, the topic, or Mivne, structural note. In this case, let us glance at the outside margin. We have a Nosei heading, Kohen Shaloka Be'etzboi, a Kohen who suffered an injury on his finger, B'Shabbos, Ma Nitan Losimolov, what can be placed on this injury, so as to avoid a problem of having an excess number of clothing. In other words, the standard Kohen is expected to wear 4 priestly garments, the 4 big day kahuna. He is not allowed to wear more than those 4, and certainly not less than those 4. If he has an injury on his finger, and it's Shabbos, what can he do as far as protecting himself or covering the injury? Because as Rashi says, an exposed injury doesn't look very nice. What should he do and to accomplish that, and at the same time not be in violation of having an excess number of clothing? So let us see the Gemara now. Tanan Hosam. There is a source that deals with the issue of a Kohen who is doing avoda, who is doing sacrificial service on Shabbos in the Beis Hamikdash. Kohen Shaloka Betzboi. Koirech Oleo Gemi Bamikdash. He is entitled to wrap around a Gemi, a reed, around his finger. Avoloi Bemedina. But if he were not involved in the Beis HaMikdash doing service, but he was outside the Beis HaMikdash, he would not be entitled to use this Gemi protection for his finger. The Gemi, we will see in the Gemara, and Rashi points this out already, is that it has a healing capacity to it. And on Shabbos, there's an Iser Derabbanan to engage in healing activities, in medicinal procedures. As a result of that, outside the Beis HaMikdash, this Isur D'Rabbanan, this rabbinic prohibition, takes hold. However, in the Beis HaMikdash, the rabbis never established their prohibition. There's a concept known as Ein Shvus B'Mikdash, that in general, there is some qualification to this idea, but in general, rabbinic prohibitions do not apply in the Beis HaMikdash. However, the source goes on to say, V'im lahotzi mimeno dam, if the purpose of wrapping the finger around with the gemi is to cause additional bleeding, to have more blood come out, kan v'kan osur, not only in the Medina would it be prohibited, but in the Beis HaMikdash as well. And the reason for this is that causing dam to exit the body is called chabura. There's an Isur Chabura, which is an Isur D'Oraisa, a Torah prohibition. And as such, it's binding even in the Beis HaMikdash. As we go on in the Gemara, we're going to notice the use of Roman numerals in the space to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara. There is a Roman numeral number 1 over here. And you'll notice a number of lines later, there's a Lishna Achrina Amri law that's in the Gemara text itself, that's squiggle underline. It's an indication of a second Lashon of the Gemara, second version. As we go on in the Gemara, we will notice the use of numerous different geometric shapes. We have triangles used, and this is explained under our Mivneh heading in the outside margin, Deos B'inyan Hanal. different opinions regarding the issue of what a kohen is to do if he's loka be'etzboi. We will also have a crown shape, havlotas shoni bein shtei lishnos. We'll try to emphasize the difference between the two versions of the Gemara using this symbol. We will then see a triangle later on with a colored in tip, deos shemofim belishna shnia, opinions that appear in the second version, so that we continue using a series marking as are all the geometric forms here. In this case, we're going to continue using a triangle with a slight differentiation to indicate that it's part of the second version. We have also provided, for this sugya, in a chart form, the different deos. We'll have three different deos, three different opinions on this topic, and on our chart, or in our chart presentation, we also feature the two lishonos. It might be helpful, by way of introduction, to first go over the chart, and then read the Gemara inside. The chart also is very beneficial for reviewing the Gemara afterwards. So on the chart, we see going down the right column, we have names. We have Rabbi Yehuda ben Rabbi Chiya, then number 2, Rabbi Yochanan, and number 3, Rava. Going across the top, we have a column entitled Mutter and a column entitled Osir. So, according to Rabbi Yehuda ben Rabbi Chiya, when focusing on the issue of the Kohen Shaloka Vetzbo on Shabbos, what is he allowed to do? So, Mutter, we have for him, Gemi, the reed. We saw that in the Tanaic source. Osir, we've noted, Tzilzul Kotana, a small band. Osir, to wrap around his finger, a Tzilzul Kotan. It's a type of band. That's Osir, the Havi Yisur Begodim. The problem there is that it constitutes an extra type of clothing. Even though it's very small, it's a band. Nevertheless, it's not part of the official four garments that a Kohen wears. Number 2, Rabbi Yochanan says, under Mutter, he says, Hakol Mutter, Di'ein Etzba Mokoim Begodim. He says, as far as covering the finger, there is no problem. Everything is Mutter. And in other words, the issue of Yitur Begodim doesn't take hold here, because we're talking about the finger. The finger is not a place that garments are generally worn. So according to Rabbi Yochanan, the problem of excess clothing only is when one wears something on that part of the body that the standard Big Day Kohen are worn. According to Rava, the third opinion, he says what's mutter is an article of clothing. If it be a band, it will be okay if it's pochos migimal gimel, if it's less than 3 by 3 fingers in size. What's usser is gimel al gimel. If some piece of fabric is 3 by 3 fingers in size, it's usser because it's yitur begodim. We note that this opinion of Rav is cholek al Rabbi Yochanan. This is at odds with Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan said that when you're dealing with the finger, there are no restrictions because it's eino mokum begodim. Rava is saying that even though it's eino mokum begodim, there is a restriction that once you hit something to at the size of 3 by 3 fabric, that's 3 by 3, it's bows, that's forbidden. So in that sense, he's cholek on Rabbi Yochanan. The second point, Beis, eino cholek al Rabbi Yehuda. We're going to suggest that Rava, who introduces as the point of restriction 3 by 3 etzbos, he's not at odds with Rabbi Yehuda. Well, on the surface, you might have thought that he is at odds with Rabbi Yehuda, namely Rabbi Yehuda ben Rabbi Chiya, because Rabbi Yehuda ben Rabbi Chiya was saying something even smaller than 3 by 3 is restricted. But yet, the Gemara will tell us that Rava is not at odds with Rabbi Yehuda ben Rabbi Chiya, because the shiny tzilzul katan, the band that Rabbi Yehuda ben Rabbi Chiya was talking about, is different. The afapi davei katan, even though it's very small, it's less than 3 etzbos in size, mikomokom havi choshuv. It's a very significant type of article, this band. V'lochein have yisur beged, and therefore it constitutes an extra article of clothing. It's namely, it's a point that even Rava would agree with. Let's now see that in the Gemara, and then we have to just remember that there's a second lashon coming up, which we also feature on this chart. Turning to the Gemara and the first triangle name, Omar Rabbi Yehuda Braid Rabbi Chia, Loi Shanu Elogemi. The allowance that is made covers only a reed. In other words, only a reed would be allowed to be wrapped around this injured finger. Aval tzilzil koton have yisur begodim, but a small band would constitute an extra article of clothing. Rabbi Yehuda Omar lo amru yisur begodim elo b'mokem begodim. The problem of excess clothing is only on that part of the body that clothing that the official four garments of the kohen are usually worn. Aval shaloi b'mokem begodim, for example, the finger. The finger is a non place of ordinary garments. Lo have isur begodim. There is no problem of excess clothing. Question: v'tepuk le mishum chatzitza. Should there still not be a problem, even though it might not be a mokum begodim, but still the kohen's finger is holds vessels in the course of the service of korbonos, and if there's an interposition between the finger, this flesh of his finger, and the vessel that he's supposed to be holding, that is a problem called chatzitza, an interposition. So the Gemara answers, besmoil, we're talking about a finger on his left hand. Since the left hand was generally not used in avoda, avoda was done basically with one's right hand, so there is no problem of chatzitza. Inami, Shaloba Mokom Avoda, or it could be a part of the finger that doesn't come into contact with the vessel. In other words, it might be like on the outside of his finger that we're talking about, covering it with the with this fabric. Since it's called Loba Mokom Avoda, it's the outside of the finger. It's not a part of the finger that comes into contact with the vessel in the first place. Therefore, there is no chatzitza problem. Upliga de Rava. Rabbi Yochanan's position is at odds with Rava, or Rava is against or at odds with Rabbi Yochanan. The Omar Rava, Omar Rav Chista, Bemokim Begodim, if you're talking about a place of the body that's generally covered with clothing, Afilu Nimo Achas Chotzetzes. Even a singular, even a hair, nimo achas, a hair or a strand, would constitute a problem. The expression chotzetzes, one might note, and as far as Rashi is concerned, is an issue of extra clothing. The word, even though a few minutes ago we used the word chatzitza as a term referring to an interposition, here we're going to use the word chotzetzes to indicate excess. So if you're dealing with b'mokayim begodim, so even nimo achas chotzetzes, this even a singular strand presents a problem. And by the way, if it's you're talking about mokayim begodim, the idea of interposition also holds true. If you have something that's blocking the clothing from touching the flesh of the kohen, even a singular strand would constitute a chatzitza. Shaloi b'mokom begodim, where you're talking about a part of the flesh of the part of the body that's generally not covered with clothing, so as we saw before, the issue of chatzitza would fall away, wouldn't present a problem. Nevertheless, sholosh al sholosh chotzetzos, a piece of fabric that's 3x3 fingers in size constitutes an extra article of clothing. That's what we call yisur begodim, and we've written that in between the lines. Pochos mikan, if you're dealing with a part of the body that's not it's shaloba mokom begodim, and it's less than 3x3 in the fabric that we're talking about is less than 3x3 etzbois, einon chotzetzos. That doesn't constitute a problem of yisur begodim. let's just go over a certain point. Let's focus on the issue of shaloi b'makom begadim. Notice we have this diagonal dashed underline. Just the line above, or two lines above, you have number two. You see that shaloi b'makom begadim? Why not contrast that momentarily with the previous time we see the expression shaloi b'makom begadim? You saw that under Rabbi Yochanan's name. Also a slashed, a dashed underline. What was Rabbi Yochanan's point about, or what was his position on shaloi b'makom begadim? We indicated there, lo havi yisur begadim. In other words, there's no problem when you're dealing with shaloi b'makom begadim, regardless of size of fabric. In focusing on Rava's take on shaloi b'makom begadim, he qualifies it. He says that only if you're dealing with something less than 3x3 etzbos will it be mutter. So the Gemara points out, Ad Rabbi Yochanan, the Gemara that we're picking up with, says, Ad Rabbi Yochanan, vadai pliga. Rava is definitely at odds with Rabbi Yochanan's approach. According to Rabbi Yochanan, shelo b'makom begadim, it's not shayach to talk about yisur begadim, even 3x3. Rava said 3x3 is a problem. The Gemara continues, Ad Rabbi Yehuda braid Rabbi Chiya mi lema de pliga. What about Rava with regard to, or in contrast with, Rabbi Yehuda braid Rabbi Chiya's position? Let's go over his position. Rabbi Yehuda Rabbi Chiya said, he said that a tzilzel katan on a finger, even though it is something less than 3 etzbos, is a problem. Rava said something that's less than 3 etzbos is not a problem on an etzba, on a finger. So would Rava be at odds with Rabbi Yehuda's approach? The Gemara says no. Rava would agree with Rabbi Yehuda's din. Shiny tzilzel katan de choshev. A tzilzel katan, this small band, is of importance, of significance, and therefore even Rava would agree with that restriction. Now we approach Lishna Achrina, a second version. Before we go ahead in the Gemara, it's my feeling that we benefited by looking at the chart before doing the first Lashon. Let's do the same thing now. Going back to the chart, Roman numeral number 2, let's go over the Shitos there and see how this second Lashon reads as well. So we continue with the Shitas there. You see on the chart, we're looking at the section in the middle of the chart, Roman numeral number 2. The first name that appears under Roman numeral 2 is Rabbi Yehuda Breida Rabbi Chiya. And we've noted Kamo number 1. In other words, to make life a little easier, this particular Shita remains the same in the two versions, that Mutter, the Gemi is Mutter, the reed wrapped around the finger is okay. However, the Tzilzul Katan Have Yitur Begadim, the little band around, wrapped around the finger, would be a problem of excess clothing. Number 2. We're now going to see Rabbi Yochanan. We've indicated that Rabbi Yochanan in this version is similar to Rava in the first Lashon. Similar in terms of the Shita itself. Pochos, and let's go over that. So Pochos mi gimel al gimel, kolel tzilzul katan, is mutter. If it's under 3x3, in this sense, as far as the tzilzul katan is concerned, it's true that with regard, Rava himself agreed that that was usur. That was in the first Lashon. According to Rabbi Yochanan, though, Rabbi Yochanan is arguing with Rabbi Yehuda Rabbi Luchia, so he's going to say that a tzilzul katan would be allowed on the finger, as well as any article of clothing that's less than 3x3 etzbos. And the tzilzul katan, being that it is less than 3x3 etzbos, he feels it's mutter, and he doesn't use the svara of that it's choshev. What's a problem? A problem is if it's 3x3, that's usur. We have a little he'ora before we get to Rava. Afal pi, we're reading now the he'ora, the little note. Afal pi shrub Yochanan in number 2, kamo Rava number 1, and we pointed out in Lashon number 1 that Rava was not at odds with Rabbi Yehuda Rabbi Chiya. Kan, but Lashon number 2, Me'achar Shrabbi Yochanan Omer Dvorov Yeshirois Al Rabbi Yehuda, since Rabbi Yochanan is pitted against, directly against Rabbi Yehuda Rabbi Chiya, Hare hu bo lachlok. He therefore is coming to argue with him. Rabbi Yochanan is a comment on the heels of Rabbi Chiya, so he has to be coming to argue with him. V'lachin lefi Rabbi Yochanan tzitzul katan yemuter. Therefore, tzitzul katan will be allowed. Whereas Rava was not a comment made directly on Rabbi Chiya. Therefore, in Lashon number one, Rava was not pitted up against Rabbi Chiya. Therefore, we were able to resolve the two shitas. Here in Lashon number two, Rabbi Yochanan is pitted up against Rabbi Chiya. Therefore, he must be arguing with him. So the point of argument will be this issue of Pochos mi gimel al gimel, including the tzilzul katan, namely where Rabbi Yehuda Rabbi Chiya forbade the tzilzul katan, even though it was very small, Rabbi Yochanan will allow the tzilzul katan. Looking at number three, we see Rava, and we also note under his name Baal mo itmar v'lo al Rabbi Yehuda. Rava is not a comment made directly on Rabbi Yehuda Rabbi Chiya. So Rava's shita is that pochos mi gimel al gimel mutter. And we've noted, afal pikein, tzilzul katan osir mitnei chashivuso. He will forbid a tzilzul katan. And what is osir is gimel al gimel. That's forbidden. Let's now turn to the Gemara, Lishna, the second Lashon. Lishna achrina amri la. A second version of the Shitas will now be presented. Omer Rabbi Yehuda braid Rabbi Chiya. Lo shanu elo gemi. This lo shanu is a reference once again to the Tanaic source above. The Tanaic source that dealt with the Kohen Shaloka Betzbo, the Kohen who received a finger injury. He tells us that the teaching makes an allowance only for gemi. Aval tzilzul katan chotzeitz. But a tzilzul katan will chotzeitz. Now the word chotzeitz, as we pointed out earlier, this means yitur begadim, would constitute an extra garment. Rabbi Yochanan, Omar, Rabbi Yochanan is coming to argue with Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Chiya says, lo omru chatzitza, the concept of chatzitza means yitur begadim, of extra clothing, is not stated, b'pochos mishalosh al shalosh. If it's less than 3x3 etzbos, there is no problem of Yitor Begadim. Let's read this again. Lo omru chatzitza bepochos mishalosh al shalosh, elo bemokoy begadim. The problem of Yitor Begadim, if you're dealing with something that's very small, that's under 3x3 etzbos, is a problem only bemokoy begadim. Aval shaloi bemokoy begadim. But shalo bemokoy begadim, like the finger, which is what we're focusing on, Shalosh al shalosh chotzetzotz, pochos mikan eino chotzetzetz. Only if it's 3x3 is there a problem on the etzba, but under 3x3 size, under 3x3 etzbos in fabric size, is not a problem. And this statement of Rabbi Yochanan, it says that under 3x3 is not a problem, including a tzilzul katan. V'hainu derava omer Rav Chisda. The statement of Rabbi Yochanan here is the same, is virtually the same as Rava in the name of Rav Chisda that we saw above. We have an arrow here to the immediate right hand side of the word pointing to where we saw Rava above. In other words, Rava is presented above and is just understood over here. Therefore, the Gemara doesn't spell out Rava Shita again. So the distinction that Rabbi Yochanan made between B'mokam Begadim and Shalom B'mokam Begadim is very similar to the distinction that Rava made above B'mokam Begadim versus Shalom B'mokam Begadim. That B'mokam Begadim, even if it's under even if it's under 3x3, it is a problem. But if it's shalom b'mokam begadim, then only if it's 3x3 is there a problem. Lema pliga ad Rabbi Yehuda braid Rabbi Chiya. should we say that that which Rava says, now we point out that Rava is a statement made not directly on the heels of Rabbi Yehuda bar Yerochiah, it's a general statement, it was a statement made Ba'alma, should we say that Rava is at odds with Rabbi Yehuda bar Yerochiah? And what would be the thought behind this? Well, what was Rabbi Yehuda bar Yerochiah's opinion with regard to Etzba? He made no allowances other than Gemi. What about Rava? Rava would make an allowance, namely if it's less than 3x3. Shalobu Mokum Godim and Etzba, less than 3x3 would not be a problem. That, as we said, is not like Rabbi Yehuda bar Yerochiah. He would not make any allowance other than a Gemi, a reed. So the Gemara says, Shiny Tzilzul Katan, the Choshev, that even Rava, who does make an allowance for something less than 3x3 on the Etzba, will not allow a Tzilzul Katan because of its significance. The Gemara asks, Rabbi Yochanan, my Irya Gemi, according to Rabbi Yochanan, that says even a Tzilzul Katan is not a problem, then why does the Tana in the original source, and here we have a little star to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text, and you find the parallel one way above, and that's the point that we're addressing right now in the Tanaic source that was in the frame, why does the Tana make an allowance only for a Gemi? According to Rabbi Yochanan, that even a small band would be allowed, l'shaminon tzilzul katan, the Gemara says, why does the Tana teach me about the reed? You could have told me a bigger chiddush. Even a small band would be allowed to be wrapped around the finger, and certainly a reed. The Gemara answers, milso agav urche komashvalon. There is something taught here by the way, and that is the gemi masi, that a reed has a medicinal value. Masi means heals, has a healing value. And that's the chiddush of the source above, that a kohen that has an injury on his finger and it's Shabbos, he can wrap a reed around his finger and won't encounter a prohibition that, if he were not in the Mikdash, would constitute a prohibition. The issue of Isser Refuas, the issue of taking medicine or medicinal procedures on Shabbos. You can see in our markings we have a slash in the Gemara. That indicates that which follows is a new idea. But before we go on, let's just remind everybody that as far as the sugya we just did, by the way, this entire sugya appears appears in Maseches Eruvin as well. So here's a case of a phenomenon that happens many places in the Shas. You get two for the price of one. In other words, for the price of learning one sugya, you get another one free, so to speak. We also want to emphasize that it would probably be worthwhile reviewing the sugya we just did with the chart, where all the shitas are laid out. Before we go on in the new Gemara, let's take a look at the Nosei Mivneh heading that we have on the side. Here we've combined the topic and structural note in one. We'll see this trapezoid form, sometimes referred to in our recordings as a volcano shape. She'elois be'inyan chatzitza. Questions will be raised concerning with what in the topic of interposition. Chatzitza in this case, not to confuse it with the Gemara before, refers to something blocking the clothing of the Kohen from touching the flesh. We'll have also use a double underline to highlight the different dugmos, the different examples. So even before we learn the Gemara inside, let's take advantage of the markings to get an overview. We have, of course, the first volcano form, Bori Rava. What do we see double underline? Ruach. After that, Kina. After that, Beis HaShechi. After that, we see Hichnis Yoda L'Socheko. And then we see Mimo, or Yotza Sairo Bibigdo, or Tfilin. All of these will be topics discussed. We'll explain them as we go on one by one. Bori Rava, Nichnas Loi Ruach Bibigdoi. Some wind entered, blew into the clothing, and caused the clothing to balloon, so to speak, whereby they were not touching his flesh. And we're talking about while he is doing the avoda, while he's doing the korban, the sacrificial service. So while he's doing the sacrificial service, a gust of wind blew into the azora and caused his clothing to balloon, so to speak. Mahu. The question is this okay or not? Al besaro bo'inon v'holeko. The pasuk makes a reference to the begotim you al besaro. It says they should be on his flesh. Well, and here it's, in a sense, it's not on his flesh. And that would constitute a problem, oidilma, or possibly derech levisha b'kach. On the other hand, he is wearing them in a normal fashion, namely, as a person wears his clothing, winds do blow from time to time, and they do cause ballooning. It's all part of the derech levisha. Therefore, this does not constitute a problem. So the question is raised with the two sides. Kino mahu shetachutz. The issue of a kina is a very small insect, sometimes translated as a lice. Does that create a problem of chatzitza? Mesa lo tiboyaloch devadei chaitza. If it's dead and it's sticking to his flesh, that's definitely a problem. Chayo mai. We're talking about a live kina. And once again, two sides to the question. We indicate this with the little lettering. We have Aleph and then a squiggle-lined expression, Oidilmo, you can see on the next line. Beis. Many times in the Shas, questions are presented with the two sides, and we label them accordingly. Aleph, Oidilmo, we squiggle-line the Oidilmo as it represents an alternative analysis. And as you can see in our markings, we saw a little bit above when he had a Lishna Achrina, another type of alternative, an alternative version. We squiggle underline the expression that indicates the transition from one side to the other. So here we have Oidilmo regarding the Kina. We're talking about now a live Kina, Chayomai. We're at the first wide line of the Gemara, in the middle of the line, a live lice. Aleph, the first side of the question, or the first possible analysis, mi amrinon kevon de osav ozla, since it's moving back and forth, revisa he, it's revisa literally means it's growth, it's its normal way. Rashi adds to this, when explaining revisa he says, hare he kibisoro, it's like his flesh. For lo chaitza, and as such, it doesn't create a problem. Oidilmo came under kopid Allah, on the other hand, since he minds it, he doesn't want it, he'd prefer it not be there, chaitza, it presents a problem. Ofor mahu shiyachutz. Does dirt on his flesh constitute a problem? So the Gemara says, ofor vada chayetz. Standard dirt definitely presents a problem. Elo avak ofor mahu. This is some type of fine dirt or dust. Something is very fine. He doesn't even feel it. Does that create a problem? Beis hashechi mahu shiyachutz. This is a reference to the area of the clothing that corresponds to his underarm, his armpit. And Rashi says there were. We're talking about the avir beis hashechi. So is that acceptable when dealing with the... is it acceptable to have an airspace at that point on the body with regard to the clothing? Al besoro bo'inan v'haleko. Is the Torah requirement of al besoro taken literally, that it must be literally on his flesh, and that's lacking at the armpit area? Oy dilmo derech levisha b'kach, or do we say that that's the normal way clothing are worn, namely they're not snug under the armpit? Hichnis yodoy l'socheko mahu. Let us say that the kohen, while doing the avoda, he inserts his arm into his under his shirt. Mahu, is that a problem? Gufo michayetz oiloi. Do we say that does his own flesh, namely his own arm, which is part of his body, does that constitute a chatzitza or not? Nimo mahu shetochutz. The Gemara's question is making an assumption right now in this question, or an understanding is that we're talking about some type of thread that came from some external thread that happened to stick to his flesh. So the Gemara says, if you're asking about that, Nimo Vadai Chaitza, some external thread that's sticking to his flesh is definitely a problem of Chatzitza. Elo Nimo Midulderes Mahu. Let's take a look at Rashi. On the first line under the Gemara text, Nima Medudeles Min HaBeged Megureres Utchuva Boiktsas Elo Sheniska Meikora. Talking about a thread of the Kohen garments themselves that became detached from the garment, from its root, so to speak, where the thread itself is detached. However, it's still inserted into the fabric itself. In other words, we would call possibly a loose thread that's wedged into the garment. However, if one were to pull this, he would not be ripping the thread out because it's already detached from the garment. He would be able to pull out the thread without ripping it. As we said, it's already detached. However, and the Gemara's question is, the thread of the garment of the clothing themselves that's wedged into the rest of the fabric. What is the din? Let's just say that again. It's a detached thread of Kohen garment material that's wedged into the garment. Boi Mor Bar Rav Ashi. Mor Bar Rav Ashi asks, Yotso Sairo Bevigdo Mahu. The question is, he has a piece of hair that's coming from his head, that seems to be, a long piece of hair that's coming from his head and reaches down into the area under his shirt. Does that constitute a problem? Sairo kegufo domi, oi lav kegufo domi. Do we view his hair as part of his body or not? The Rashi explains that this question is assuming that yodo, that his placing of his hand in under his shirt would not have been a chatzitza. The question then would be raised, what about sairo? Continuing in the Gemara, Boi Rabbi Zeira, Tfilin Mahu Shiachutsu. This question is the subject of a machlokes Rashi and Tosfos. According to Rashi, the question of Mahu Shiachutsu regarding the Tfilin is a question of, does it constitute Yitur Begadim? According to Tosfos, the question is an issue of Chatzitza Mamish, an actual interposition. So let us make the assumption, of course, when we're talking about tefillin, we're talking about the Kohen is wearing the tefillin b'shas avoda. The Gemara continues, Aliba deman de omar lailo lav zman tefillin. According to the opinion that the nighttime is excluded from the time designed for wearing one's tefillin. Once again, according to the Mandorma, Laila loves Mantfilin who, lo tiboyaloch, then this doesn't even start off as a question. Kevon de Laila chaitzi, since with regard to the nighttime, the tefillin would present a problem. Yoim nami chaitzi, with regard to daytime activity, they will also pose a problem. Because if you wouldn't say that, in other words, if you'll say that the nighttime is a problem and the daytime is not a problem with regard to the tefillin, then you'll end up having a chumrah regarding the night, a restriction regarding the night, or a stringency regarding the night that you don't find during the day. And that can't be. The daytime is a more stringent time period with regard to avodas beis hamikdash. Ki tiboyaloch, the question about tefillin presenting a problem arises leman de omar Laila Zman Tfilin Mai. According to the approach that says that the nighttime, of course we're talking on a Torah level, we're not dealing with rabbinic law. Rabbinic law will suggest not to wear tefillin at night. Of course, we are not going to get into the details of that sugya in this discussion, but suffice it to say that on a Torah level, there is a debate whether the nighttime is included as the time for wearing tefillin. So according to the opinion that says the nighttime is zman tefillin, mai. Mitzvah de gufei chayetz, or lo chayetz, a mitzvah that is performed on his body. One wears tefillin. So that's called mitzvah de gufei. Does that constitute a chatzitza or not? Igalgo milsa umoto lekame de Rabbi Ami. The issue rolled around and got to the attention of Rabbi Ami. Omale Talmud Oruch Hu Biodeinu. It's a tradition that we possess. Tefillin chitzisos. That tefillin present a problem with regard to the avodas Beis Hamikdash. Meisvei. We have the following Tanaic source that will pose a problem. Koyanim ba'avodasan, u'levim b'duchanan, v'Yisrael b'mamodan, p'turin minat fila, u'minat filin. The source describes the different categories of the Jewish people, of Koyanim who serve in the sacrificial activity of offering sacrifices. That's called avodasan. Levim Beduchanam, that's the presence of the Leviim for musical purposes in the Beis Hamikdash, to sing and play instruments. V'Yisrael b'mamodam, this is a reference to the representatives of Klal Yisrael that were present while public sacrifices were offered in the Beis Hamikdash. They are exempt, they don't have to pray, and they don't have to wear tefillin. The idea behind this exemption is, Rashi points out that we hold one who is involved with the performance of a mitzvah is exempt from performing other mitzvahs. So since these people are participatory in the Beis Hamikdash activities, they're hence exempt from these mitzvahs. My love, what is implied though over here, im hinichon, if they did choose to wear them, Einon chotzitzot. The source, after all, it said that the Kohanim are exempt, but it leaves room to suggest that if they would wear the tefillin, they would not pose a problem. The Gemara rejects this. Loi. Im henichon chotzitzot. If the Kohanim would wear the tefillin, it would constitute a chatzitza. Ihochi pturin asurin liboilei. If that be the case, the word pturim, which is used in the source, why is that the choice word? It would have been more appropriate to say asurim, they are forbidden. Asurim mi boyale. Mi boyale, it should have said. The Gemara answers, the source could not have used the word asurim. Kevon de'iko levim v'Yisrael, de'lo masnu lei asur, since there are other people featured in this source, there are the levim and the Yisraelim, which don't deal with the actual sacrificial procedure or service. They are present, but they don't actually handle the vessels that are required in the offering process. So by them, the word usher would have been out of place. That's what this expression means. The lo masnu le usher. It would not have been appropriate to use the word usher regarding them. Mishum hochi tana pturim. Therefore, the source uses the word pturim, which is an appropriate word covering all of them. However, with regard to the Kohanim, we are adding here, they are not only exempt, but it would be a problem, it would be forbidden for them to wear the tefillin. The Gemara asks, V'hotanyo im henichon einon chotzitzotz. Here we have a Tanaic source that says if he wears the tefillin, they don't pose a problem. We just got finished explaining the source above with regard to the Kohanim. They do pose a problem. More answers, lo, kashia, ha, diyad, ha, derosh. Tefillin are comprised of the arm tefillin and the head tefillin. The arm tefillin, that presents a problem. That's chotzetz. The head tefillin is einon chotzetzotz. They are okay. And that's what this source says. Eminichon, einon chotzetzotz, this would be a reference to the tefillin shel rosh. My shno, the Gemara asks, my shno, diyad, Dichtiv Yilbash al-Basaroi. Shelo yehe davar chotzeis beinoi levasaro. What is different about the tefillin shel yad, which you seem to be clear on that it presents a problem of chotzeis, of chatzitza, because the pasuk says that the clothing of the kohanim are supposed to be on his flesh, and nothing else should be there. The roish nami tziv is samto hamitznefes al roishai. With regard to the tefillin shel rosh, the pasuk in the Torah dealing with the big dekuna says that the mitznefes should be on his head. The mitznefes is the hat that the kohen would wear, which is mashma that just like we said that the clothing shall be on his flesh, meaning there shouldn't be anything else. With regard to the rosh also, it says the mitznefes should be on his head and nothing else. So the Gemara answers, Tana, we have a Tanaic source that says, Sairoi hoyanira bein tzitz la mitznefes. With regard to the Kohen Gadol who wore this headgear called mitznefes, it says there was hair that was visible on the head of the Kohen Gadol between the tzitz. The tzitz is a golden headband or head plate that the Kohen Gadol wore, and he also wore this mitznefes, this type of hat. And the source says that there was hair visible between the tzitz and the mitznefes, shesham maniach tefillin, that there he was able to wear the tefillin. So that even though the pasuk says v'samto mehamitznefes al rosho, the fact that he was wearing tefillin doesn't pose a problem with regard to the mitznefes, because the mitznefes was in fact a small type of hat that fit on the top of his head, so to speak. Then under that, or below that, as you move down on his head, they would wear the tefillin, and then below that you would have the tzitz. The Gemara continues at the top of Yud Tes on the Beis, Mechusar Kippurim Minolon. From where do we know that a person awaiting the bringing of his korban after his tumah period, if a kohen does avoda in that state prior to his bringing the required korban, he is mechalel the avoda. Mechusar Kippurim is a situation, and we've mentioned this in previous shiurim, but if you're tuning in for the first time at this point, this is a person who had, in this case a kohen who had been tomei, a type of tumah that requires at the end of the tumah period the bringing of a korban. That includes tumas like tumah zav or zava or yoledes or metzora. These are people that after their tumah period they wait 7 days of Tahara, of a purification days, we'll call them, and then the eighth day they bring a korban, and that korban is necessary for them to get to extricate themselves or exit completely from the realm of tumah. If they haven't brought their korban, they're still considered or labeled as tomei. And as such, they will mechalel avoda. So the Gemara is asking here, mechusar kippurim, even though he's already gone to the mikveh, he's already experienced the sunset, and which is generally speaking the necessary stages for achieving tahara with regard to many other realms, if he is the kind of tomei that needs still to bring a korban on the next day, if he does avoda before he brings the korban, he will mechalel, he will ruin the sacrifice that he's processing. So from where do we know this? Omar Rav Huna, Omar Kro, V'chiper Olel HaKohen V'Tohera. The pasuk here is talking about one of the Mechusrei Kapora, a Yoledes. It says, and he will offer the korban, and with that she gains her tahara, with the offering of the korban. Tahara Michlal Shehi Tamea. The fact that the Torah describes the woman who needed to bring the korban because of her tumas leida, her tumah period after having given birth, the Torah says that with the offering of the korban she now becomes tahor. That implies that up till now, that's what the Gemara said, tahara michlal, it implies that up till now she tameah, that she was categorized as a tameah. And we know that when it comes to Tomei, it says V'inozru v'lo yichalalu. They have to, Tomei must stay away from the service of the Beis HaMikdash and thereby not mechalal avoda. And therefore, if he does do avoda while in a state of tuma, and we are explaining that prior to the bringing of that korban of the mechusar kapara, he is called Tomei and hence will mechalal the avoda. Continuing, v'shelo rochutz yodayim raglayim, a kohen is expected to have his hands and feet washed from the kior, from the water storage vessel in the Azorah. If he enters the Beis HaMikdash and starts the avoda without having done rechitzas yodayim raglayim, he will mechalal the avoda. How do we know that? Asya chuka chuka mi mechusar begadim. There is a Gezerah Shava from Mechusar Begadim, and we've already established that a Mechusar Begadim, a Kohen who is doing the sacrificial service without the requisite number of clothing, he is Mechalel the Avoda. Through the Gezerah Shava of Chuka Chuka, we establish the same thing by the Shalorochot Yodayim Raglayim, because in that part of the Torah, the word Chuka also appears. The idea of Gezerah Shavah is that in the two topics, Shalorochot Yodayim Raglayim and the topic of Mechusar Begadim, the same word appears in both sections. With that Gezerah Shavah word comparison, we come to this conclusion that Shalorochot Yodayim Raglayim also is Mechalo Avoda. We have a topic heading on the outside margin, no say, Kohen She'ovad Bali Rechitzis Yodayim Raglayim Shacharis. We'll be investigating this topic at greater length now. The idea of a kohen doing avoda without the washing of the hands and feet in the morning, namely upon entrance to the Beis HaMikdash in the morning. Tanu Rabbanan. We have a Tanaic source. As you can see, it's in a frame as we note all Tanaic sources in our marking system to set them apart from the rest of the Gemara literature. Kohen Godol on Yom Kippur, Shaloi Toval, Vishalo Kidesh, Bein Beged, Lebeged, Ubein Avoida, Lavoda Ve'ovad. A Kohen Godol who performs almost all of the daily activity of the Yom Kippur service in the Beis HaMikdash, if between the, it should be noted that the Kohen Godol during the day experiences five changes of clothing, where he starts off the avoda in his eight Kohen Gadol clothing, the eight Big Day Zov, as they're known, the eight golden type clothing, because part of the Big Day Kahuna, the standard Kohen Gadol's clothing included gold. He would switch from that to the four white linen clothing, and then switch back into the gold, switch into the white, and finally again into the gold. So the Yom Kippur changes of clothing require between each change of clothing a kiddush yodayim raglayim. It's a washing of the hands and feet from the kior, and also an immersion in the mikveh. As far as the details are concerned, there are five immersions and in the mikveh, five tevilos in the mikveh, and before and after each tevila, there was a kiddush yadayim raglayim. So, in addition to the five tevilos, there were 10 kiddush yadayim raglayims that took place. The source tells us that if the Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur did not do the kiddush yadayim raglayims and the tevilos between each change of clothing, his avodah is still acceptable. The echad kohen gadol, the echad kohen hediot shelo kidesh yodav raglov shachris. However, whether you're talking about a kohen gadol or a standard kohen who doesn't wash his hands and feet, whether it be Yom Kippur or the rest of the year, shachris meaning at the entrance to the Beis HaMikdash in the morning before doing any avoda, there is a kiddush yadayim raglayim that every kohen was expected to do before he started working in the Beis HaMikdash on any given day. The ovad, and he went ahead and did offered a sacrifice without having done that shacharis kiddush yadayim raglayim avodaso psula. he will ruin the sacrifice that way. Amale Rav Asi Rabbi Yochanan. Michti. Let us look into this. Chomesh Tevilos Ve'asora Kiddushin De'oraisa. As far as the Yom Kippur ceremony is concerned, the five immersions and the ten Kiddush Yodayim Raglayims are sanctioned or are stated in the Torah. They're Doraisa, the Chukah Ksiv Behu. And the word Chukah appears in that context as well, in the context of Yom Kippur. When the word Chukah appears in the Torah, we generally speaking assume it means that whatever is mentioned in that context is binding. So the Gemara asks, Le'akfu, let it be binding. Why does it say in the source that the Chamesh Tevilos and the Asura Kiddush Yodayim Raglayims of Yom Kippur are not binding? It said in the source, Avodas Ukshar, if he doesn't do it. Omar Le, Rabbi Yochanan answers, Omar Kro Ulave Shom. The Pasuk uses the word Ulave Shom, and in other words, that word is repeated a couple of times. Levisha me'akevus, and the repetition of ulevesham is meant to tell me that the issue of the wearing of the clothing is binding. The ein dover acher me'akev, and nothing else is binding, namely to the exclusion of the chamesh tevilos and the asura kiddush yodayim raglayim. So in this Gemara, Rav Asi asked the question of Rabbi Yochanan, and Rabbi Yochanan just gave him an answer. Tzav uponoven, Rabbi Asi's face lit up. He seemed to be very happy with the answer that Rabbi Yochanan just gave him. Omar Le, Rabbi Yochanan says, Vov a'ufta kasvilach. Ihochi detzafronami. Rabbi Yochanan uses an expression, Vov a'ufta. The actual meaning of that, Rashi gives two different explanations for it. So one is a letter Vov that's etched out on a log. Being that the log is filled with ridges created by the bark on it, one wouldn't notice a letter Vov that's etched into a piece of wood. In other words, it's meaningless. Likewise, Rav Yochanan is saying that my answer is meaningless, because if you do go all the way with my answer that suggested that Levisha is ma'akevus and nothing else is ma'akev, then ihochi detzafronami, the kiddush yadayim raglayim of the morning should also not be ma'akev. And yet in the same source that we're discussing, the distinction was made between the kiddush yadayim raglayim of the shacharis, that it is ma'akev, as opposed to the Yom Kippur Kiddush Yodayim Raglayim, so that's not Ma'akev. But as we said, if you emphasize the pasuk that says Ulave Sham, even the morning Kiddush Yodayim Raglayim should not be Ma'akev. Before we go further, we have a new geometric form. On the outside margin, we have a Nosei Mivneh Mekoros the Kiddush the Shachris Ma'akev Ba'avodas Yom Kippur Shel Kohen Gadol Masha'en Kein Sha'ar HaKiddushim the Kohen Gadol the Yom Kippur. We now have to confront this issue of why is it that the morning Kiddush Yodayim Raglayim of the Kohen Gadol of Yom Kippur is binding and the subsequent Kiddush Yodayim Raglayim of Yom Kippur are not. Omar Chizkiya, so we see Chizkiya in a diamond, and a couple lines later you have Rabbi Yonasan. Omar Chizkiya, Omar Kro, V'hoysa Lohem Chok Oilom. This pasuk is in the context of the Kiddush Yodayim Raglayim. It says, V'hoysa Lohem Chok Oilom Loi Ulezaro Ledurosom. And we explain, Dover Hama'akev Bezaro, something that is binding with regard to the rest of the Kohanim, which is the Kiddush, the washing of the hands and feet upon entrance to the Avodah, Me'akev Bo. That will also be binding with regard to the Kohen Gadol and his Yom Kippur activity. Dover She'eno Me'akev Bezaro, something that's not binding with regard to the rest of the Kohanim, Ein Me'akev Bo, will not be binding with regard to the Kohen Gadol. Rabbi Yochanan Omar mehocha v'rachatsu mimenu Moshe v'yaron uvanov. The pasuk is referring to the washing of the hands and feet from the kior. Dover ha-ma'akev bibonov, ma'akev bo. That which is binding with regard to his sons, who were non-Kohen Godols, we'll call them Kohen Hedyot, that is ma'akev in the Kohen Godol. Dover she'eno ma'akev bibonov, something that's not binding with regard to standard Kohanim, ein ma'akev bo, won't be binding with regard to the Kohen Godol and his special activity, which is the Yom Kippur service. So we have two sources, you have Chizkiah and Rabbi Yonasan. The Gemara, at this point, will go back and forth between the two sources, between the two opinions, why each one didn't say like the other. Rabbi Yonasan, my time alo Omar mide Chizkiah, why did he not cite the Pasuk of Hoysolahem Chok Olam? Amaloch, ahu l'doros hu dichtiv. That Pasuk is said that the Kiddush Yadayim Raglayim is something to take place during all generations, and it's not there for the purpose of hekish, of comparing lo to zaro, to compare the Kohen Gadol to his offspring, namely the rest of the Kohen Hedyot. V'idoch, Chizkiah, my time lo omar mehai, why did he not cite the V'rochatsu mimenu posuk? Answer, miboy alei, because Chizkiah needs the pasuk of Varachatsu Memena Moshe Vanu Bonov the Rabbi Yosi Berchanina for his teaching. The Omer Rabbi Yosi Berchanina called Kior She'ein Boi Kedei Lekadesh Arbo Kehanem Imenu Ein Mekachin Bo. Any Kior that doesn't have enough water for four Kehanem to wash from, it's not suitable for Kiddush Yodayim V'Raglayim. Shenema Varachatsu Memenu Moshe V'Yaron Ubonov. The Pasuk enumerates four individuals, Moshe, Aaron, and two sons. So that's what Chizkiah uses the Pasuk of Verochatsu Mimenu to teach, that you have to have a kior that contains, has a quantity of water for four Kiddush Yadayim Raglayims. Tanu Rabbanan. We have a Tanaic source that we also feature under our topic heading on the outside margin. Ketzad Hanochas Yadayim Raglayim Mishas Kiddush. How are the hands and feet placed while this washing takes place? Ketzad Mitzvas Kiddush. How is the mitzvah of Kiddush Yadayim Raglayim accomplished? Answer, Meniach Yodoi Hayemonis Al Gabi Raglo Hayemonis. He places his right hand on his right foot. The Yodoi Hasmolis Al Gabi Raglo Hasmolis, and his left hand on his left foot. Umekadesh, and washes it in that position. Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda, Omer, Meniach Shtei Yodov Zu Al Gav Zu. He places his two hands, one on top of the other. The Al Gabi Shtei Raglov Zu Al Gabi Zu, and his two feet, one is on top of the other. So from Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Yehuda, his two hands that are one on top of the other are on his two feet, one which is on top of the other. Umekadesh Amrulo. So the other Rabbonan said to Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Yehuda, he flakto, Yevshel Asus, can you have exaggerated? It's impossible to assume such a posture and expect to be able to stand and be washed at the same time. Shapir Karmilei, the Gemara points out, they are certainly making a good point that to have one's two hands crossed and placed on his two feet that are crossed and expect to be able to stand and be washed like that is unreasonable. Rav Yosef comes to explain Rav Yossi Rav Yehuda's opinion, v'chavero misayo. Of course one cannot stand for any length of time in that position, but his friend supports him, keeps him from toppling over. My binayu, what's the underlying point of machlokis of this controversy between Tanakama and Rav Yossi Rav Yehuda? Omar Abaye, Amido Minatsad Ikobinayu. The issue of standing while someone is supporting you is the point of difference. According to the Tanakhama, standing while being supported is not considered standing. And hence he doesn't even offer this suggestion of having having all of one's limbs crossed over each other. According to Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Yehuda, that is considered standing. Omar le Rav Samo Braid Rav Ashi, the Ravina. The Lesiv Mesiv Ulakadish. Why does one have to be so concerned with being in a standing position? Why not just be seated while the Kiddush takes place? There's a Tosfos that points out the Lesiv Mesiv Likdash, Lav Yeshiva Mamish. We're not talking about being seated in a chair, in a normal seated posture. The Ein Yeshiva Bazora. One is not allowed to sit in the Azara. Elo, smicha, support. Why not lean while doing Kiddush Yodav Raglayim? Omar Kro, the Gemara answers from the Pasuk, Lisharais. The Pasuk, we'll notice on the side, we've written in Perik Lamed in Shmos, Pasuk Chof. We've written on the side of our Gemara, Bevoyim el oil moyed, yurchatsu mayim, veloyim musu, obegishtam el hamizbech, lishareis, lahaktiri shel Hashem. So this pasuk that features the yurchatsu mayim, that they are washing themselves, it also features the word lishareis. And v'sherus me'umad hu. Sherus, the Beis HaMikdash service, is done while standing. So that's why there is a preoccupation in this source above with regard to how Kiddush Yodav Raglayim is done, that one is assuming a standing position. What is standing? What constitutes standing? So according to the Tanakhama, it must be unassisted standing, and according to Rabbi Yossi Bermuda, even assisted standing is considered legitimate. This is as opposed to one just leaning on the side, leaning on a wall or on a pillar, that wouldn't be considered standing according to any of these opinions. Before we go on in the Gemara, we have a topic heading, a nosei, Kidesh Yodov Viraglov La'avodas Lailo. Hayim Tzorach L'Kadesh Oipam V'Yoim. One washed his hands and feet for nighttime Beis HaMikdash service. That includes things like offering the limbs and innards of korbanos that one didn't finish offering during the daytime. So what's known as hekter chalom levorim is a process that can continue into the night as well. The basic offering of korbanos is not done at night, but the offering on the mizbeach of the remaining limbs and innards that were not successfully offered during the day, that can take place at night. But in order to engage in Beis HaMikdash activity, one must do Kiddush Yodav Raglayim. The issue here is going to be where someone had done Kiddush Yodav Raglayim, he did wash his hands and feet for Avodas HaLaila. Does he have to do this again? Does he have to re-wash himself or wash a second time if he plans to continue doing Avodah Seyum, doing the daytime service? And we pointed out in our Nosei heading, our topic heading, this is a controversy between Rebbe and Rebbe Elazar Rebbe Shimon. Rebbe will hold that the washing that he did for the nighttime activity is not sufficient, and he has to wash again for the daytime activity. Rebbe Elazar Rebbe Shimon says Ein Lina Moelas B'Kiddush Yodav Raglayim, that it remains that which he did for the night. He doesn't is sufficient, and he doesn't have to wash himself in the next morning again. Turning to the Gemara, we also have noted there is a Roman numeral number 1 there. That's to indicate this is the first source. On this topic, there will be a second source with a Roman numeral number 2. The Gemara afterwards will raise the issue of why is it necessary to have both of these sources taught. Tana Rabbanan, starting with source Roman numeral number 1. Kidesh Yodav Viraglov Bayom ain tzorach lekadosh b'layla. If a kohen did kiddush yadayim v'raglayim for daytime activity in the Beis HaMikdash, he doesn't have to do it again if he intends to continue working into the night, provided, of course, he didn't leave the Beis HaMikdash or experience Hesech Hadas, where he stopped his focus or concentration on the Beis HaMikdash activity. Provided that his mindset was focused on his Avodas Beis HaMikdash the whole time, if he did Kiddush Yadayim Raglayim for a daytime activity, and he intends to continue into the night, he doesn't have to redo it. Balayla, if he did Kiddush Yadayim Raglayim because he entered the Beis HaMikdash for the first time to, at night, to do the, what we mentioned before, Hekter Chalom Ve'Vorem, Tzorech L'Kadesh Bayom, when daytime comes around, he has to do a second Kiddush Yadayim Raglayim, Divrei Rebbe. This is Rebbe's opinion. Shehoya Rebbe Omer, Rebbe explains himself, Lino Mo'eles B'Kiddush Yadayim Raglayim. Lino is a situation which can take on different definitions depending on the sugya you're dealing with, but for our purposes, Lino means the passage of the night into the day. That time period, the day daybreak, Halos HaShachar, creates Lino. If you could loosely translate it as being like a layover, that transition in time, Mo'elis, has an effect, has a negative effect on the Kiddush Yadayim Raglayim that he had done for the night. It renders it void, and he has to redo it. Rabbi Lozer, Rabbi Shimon, Omer, Ein Lino Mo'elis B'Kiddush Yadayim Raglayim. This time transition has no effect on the washing that he had done for his nighttime activity, and hence he can rely on the nighttime washing and continue without a rewashing and into daytime activity. Tanya Idach, we have another source. A kohen was serving on the mizbeach during the nighttime hours. La'oira, at daybreak, Ton Kiddush Yadayim Raglayim Divrei Rebbe. He has to do a second washing. Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon Omer, Kivon Shekiddush Yadav Raglav Mitchilas Avoida, since he did a Kiddush Yadav Raglayim at the beginning of his service, when he started working, in this case the nighttime service, Kevon, reading that again, Kevon Shekiddush Yadav Raglav Mitchilas Avoida, Afilu Mikan V'Ad Asara Yomim Eino Tzorach L'Kadesh. Even if he is going to be there for 10 days, he doesn't have to do a second Kiddush. The Rashi adds over here, this is provided that he is constantly working. These two sources seem to be saying the same thing. When you focus on Shitas Rebbe, the transition from night to day has an influence on the Kiddush Yadayim Raglayim, necessitating a second one for the daytime. So right away we seem to have a certain sense of repetition regarding Shitas Rebbe, and likewise with regard to Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon, the Kiddush Yadayim Raglayim that one does for the night is sufficient for the next day. Why do these two sources have to be taught? Utsricha, di ashmina kamaisa. Had I taught only the first source, behahi kama Rebbe, de posak le mavoda lavoda. There, Rebbe says that he has to do a second kiddush during the daytime because he stopped in the interim. He was doing some nighttime activity and then stopped. And the daytime plans to restart his sacrifice offering as a result of the posakle, because of this break. That's why he has to wash again. Aval beha, in the story featured in number 2, the lo posak lay, where he was in continuous service, continuous activity, Emo modi le Rabbi the Rabbi Elazar Rav Shimon. Had I not taught source number two, I would have thought that in a case where there was no break in the avoda, Rabbi would have conceded to Rabbi Elazar Rav Shimon. So in that you don't need to do a second kiddush yadayim raglayim, even though there's a transition from night to day. V'yashmin b'ha. If we would have taught the case number two, where there was no cessation in sacrificial activity during the transition from night to day, maybe only then Rabbi Elazar Shimon would say that you don't have to do a second kiddush because there was no hefsik, there was no hafsaka between avodos. Aval b'ha, in the first case where there was posak, where there was a break, Emo modi le Rebbe. I would have thought, without, if the source had not been taught, that Rebbe Elazar Shimon would concede to Rebbe that when he wants to restart his activity during the daytime, he'd have to do a second kiddush yadayim raglayim. Sricha. Therefore, it has to be taught in that case as well, where there was a hefsek, that Rebbe Elazar Shimon would say you don't have to do a second kiddush yadayim raglayim. The fact that you did it during the night, it's sufficient, and for the daytime as well. My time with the Rebbe, we've used a dashed underline to point out that the Gemara is going to show the makoros, the sources for each one of these two shitas, because later on the line you see my time with the Rebbe of Shimon. So first, my time with the Rebbe. Why does Rebbe say that the transition from nighttime to daytime requires a second kiddush yadayim raglayim? Dechtiv begishtam. The pasuk said, and we read that pasuk before, Shmois lamed pasuk chaf. It said yurchatsumayim v'lo yamusu o begishtam el hamizbeach. And the word begishtam literally means to draw near or draw unto something. The Rashi points out that the gisha d'shachris, the drawing unto avoda, unto service during the daytime, is considered a new gisha, a new approach to the avoda. So that whenever there is a new approach to the avoda, an additional kiddush yadayim raglayim is necessary. My time of the Rebbe of Shimon, dichtiv bevoam. Bevoam, that he, when they enter, they have to wash. But if after he entered, he doesn't leave, he's still there, so that even though it is a transition from night to day, he hasn't left. Therefore, there's no need for a new kiddush yadayim raglayim. V'idoch nami hoksi bevoam. Rebbe, does it not say bevoam? And yet he says that you do have to do a second kiddush yadayim raglayim, even though he didn't leave. So the Gemara answers, Iksiv begishtam veloksi bevoam, and I had just the word begishtam without bevoam, have amina al kol gisha begisha. For every activity, for every new korban, one would require a new kiddush yadayim raglayim, even if they're both during the daytime. Therefore, Kosav Rachmona Bevo'am, the word Bevo'am neutralizes that thought and says that only for a new day is there a necessity for a Kiddush Yadayim Raglayim. And that idea of a new day includes the case of transition from nighttime to a new day. V'idach Rebbe Elazar Rav Shimon, Nami Hok Siv Begishtam. Does it not say begishtam, which suggested to Rebbe at least that any new day requires a new kiddush yadayim raglayim, whereas Rebbe Elazar Shimon said that if you did it at night, even though there's a transition from the night to the new day, you don't have to. Iksiv bevoam v'lo iksiv begishtam. Rebbe Elazar Shimon says that had it written bevoam and not had the word of begishtam, hafamino afilu abio reikonis. Even if someone enters the Beis HaMikdash without the intent of doing avoda, I would have thought that he has to do kiddush yadayim raglayim. Therefore, I need the word begishtam to tell me that only for sacrificial activity is there a necessity of kiddush yadayim raglayim. But it's not there to tell me that for every new day you require a separate kiddush yadayim raglayim. Question. Abia Reconis? Would you have even thought that on Abia Reconis means entrance for non-sacrificial purposes, you would have had to wash your hands, that I need the Torah to dispel that idea through the word Gishtam? I would not have had such a Havamina. Hoksiv L'Shareis. The pasuk that talks about Kiddush Yadam Raglaim talks about coming in to do service. So I don't need the word Begishtam to dispel the case of Bia Reikonis. Ella. Begishtam Miboyale L'Chede Rav Acha Bar Yankiv. I need the word Begishtam for his teaching, which has to do with the Seder, the order of things, order of practices during the Avodas Yom Kippur. The Yomer Vachav Yankiv Hakol Moedim Bekidush Sheni Kishu Lovush Mekadesh. We mentioned a little earlier that during Yom Kippur there were five tevilos, and each tevila was accompanied by a Kiddush Yadayim Raglayim before the immersion in the mikveh and after. We're talking, this expression of Kiddush Sheni is a reference to the second washing that takes place after each tevila immersion. So Rav Acha Bar Yankiv is telling us that everyone agrees that that second washing is after he already got dressed with the new garments. New garments, we also discussed this earlier, that each stage of the Yom Kippur service involved a change of garments. There were five garment changes during the day. So the second Kiddush Yadayim Raglayim that takes place after each Tevila, each one of those five mikveh immersions, the second Kiddush Yadayim Raglayim is done after he got dressed already. As far as the first Kiddush Yadayim Raglayim, there's a machlokus whether he is still clothed when he does that, or he first removes his clothing and then does the Kiddush Yadayim Raglayim that precedes the mikveh immersion. However, dealing with the second one, everyone agrees that he is clothed. Yom Akra, and this is the pasuk that we're citing, O Begishtam. Mi she'enoi mechuser elo gisha bilvat. Someone who is lacking only the actual approach to the avoda. Namely, there's a washing, and then he approaches the avoda. El yotza, to the exclusion, yotza zesh mechuser levisha vegisha, to the exclusion of a scenario where he would be unclothed and wash, then clothe himself, and then approach the avoda. That would not be in the spirit of the pasuk, or according to the dictates of the pasuk. The pasuk is dictating that with regard to the second Rechitzas Yadayim Raglayim, there's nothing between it and the actual approach to the avoda. Nothing, including there is no getting dressed, because for the second Kiddush Yadayim Raglayim, he first gets dressed, then does the Kiddush Yadayim Raglayim, and then approaches the avoda. The pasuk says, in the context of the Kiddush Yadayim Raglayim, also in the pasuk we cited before, Shmois Lamed Perikov, V'haktir ishe lomali. Rashi points out that it seems to be pashit that you require a kiddush yadayim raglayim for the offering up of things on the mizbeach. As Rashi we just mentioned. Rashi at the very bottom, we could read that together. He says, "Lahakti ished dechtiv gabi kiddush lomali pshita debaya kiddush." It's obvious that he requires kiddush toha gishas mizbeachi. That's an approach to the mizbeach. The pasuk had just said before that, "O begishtam el hamizbeach." What do I gain by adding l'shareis lahakti ished Hashem? So the Gemara answers at the top of Daf Chof, "Mahu detemo hani mili avoda demakva kapora." Had I not had the Lahaktir Isha Pasuk, had I just had the Gishtam Elam Mizbeach, I would have thought, what requires Kiddush? Only those kinds of activities that are binding for achieving atonement. Ava Avoida Delo Ma'akva Kapara, but those kinds of activities that are not binding, namely that the Korban would be acceptable even without them being done, lo, I would have thought. namely, had I not had the posuk, I would have thought that those don't require kiddush. Kamash malon, therefore I have the expression of lahaktir ishel Hashem, which deals with the offering of the innards and limbs of korbanos, which are activities that are not binding, and yet for those I need kiddush yadayim v'raglayim as well. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.